Hello and welcome back. Today we're going to talk about a couple of different things. I feel like I neglected to say in the last episode the difference between having been pregnant and never being pregnant and induced lactation, because there is some differences to it. If you've been pregnant, like I said I had, then you have everything already ready to go. If you've never been pregnant, then the process is going to take you a little longer because you do have to build up those mammary glands. It's not really that big of a deal. You just need to know that it's going to take you a little longer. Now, I've read and I've heard professionals say that you can produce in as little as 2 weeks to a month if you've never been pregnant. And I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, that's wrong. Very, very wrong. I personally know two women right now that one has never been pregnant and one has been pregnant, and they're in the process of inducing, and it's been, I think, 2 or 3 months for both of them, maybe 4 months, and they still haven't started producing. So even though everybody's body is different, if you've never been pregnant, it will take you longer. And just a little piece of information, you know, there are people out there that think induced lactation is weird, or, you know, not something that you should talk about, or, you know, some weird stuff they do in sex clubs. But, you know, in ancient Rome, young women that were part of a household, you know, housemaids or whatever you want to call them, they were required to induce lactation so that they could take care of the babies of the household. And usually they accomplished that by just putting a baby to their breast, and it suckled until eventually the young girl was producing milk. So it's not as outrageous as people would like you to think. You might possibly read that you need to have a partner to induce, and that's not true either. I did it by myself with no help from anyone, in a house full of people where nobody knew. So it's completely possible to do it yourself. Having a partner works out great, but at first you don't have to have one. And having said all that, if you're not experiencing anything or there's no changes to your body, then maybe changing up what you're doing. Maybe the settings on your pump need to change. One of the things that I did when I first started using an electric pump, not the manual pump, but when I moved to an electric pump, one of the things that worked for me was I didn't worry about the suction part of the pump. I used the stimulate mode all the time. That's all I used. I never switched to the pump part, and that really worked well for me. Which is a good segue into talking about pumps. We didn't really talk about them a lot in the last episode. I just mentioned I had a manual pump. So there's a couple of things about pumps. I won't even tell you that I know a lot about them. And I only just recently read what the difference between a hospital grade pump and a personal electric pump was. And it has to do with the closed system and how it delivers the milk into the bottle. So, you know, sometimes that stuff gets confusing, and I'll try to make it as easy as possible. You can get a manual or an electric. You can get a single or a double, and that just means that the single just attaches to one side and the double attaches to both breasts. So that's all that is. And then a couple things to consider when you're looking for a pump is cost. You know, when you're first starting out, if you don't want to spend a lot of money, then just getting an inexpensive pump, that's what I did, and it helped, you know, get things started. And later on I got something, you know, more expensive, which we'll talk about that maybe when we review pumps. And then milk volume, you know, at the beginning you're not getting any milk, so that also doesn't matter. Portability, if you want to take it with you, or if you're just doing, you know, that's something you're just doing at home. adjustable suction, you're going to want that. If, you know, you're going to use the suction, you want to be able to make it higher or lower depending on what you can tolerate. So that's really, you know, the basics of pumping and what you're looking for in a pump. Later on, you'll probably want to get, like I said, something maybe, you know, a little better. For me personally, I had a hospital grade pump that I got rid of, and it doesn't matter what kind, I'm not going to go into that, but it didn't work for me and it was terrible. So I actually ended up, a friend recommended a pump and I tried hers, and I ended up ordering that off of Amazon. It's not even a medium priced pump, it's a lower range pump, but it is probably the best pump that I've used. And I've tried, I think like 4 or 5 different pumps. So, you know, you have to find what's going to work for you. Just because, you know, one kind worked for me, everybody's breasts and nipples are all different. So, you know, you're going to have to work around until you find a pump that fits you. Okay, let's talk about some things that you should be eating. We all know that carbs is at the top of the list, but you probably want to have whole grain carbs more than you have refined carbs. And the problem with refined carbs, such as white bread, regular pasta, and most pastries, is that they lack fiber and they can spike your blood sugar. So it's best to go with complex carbs because then you don't have that issue. The other things that you should probably try to fit into your diet is barley. And if you don't like barley, well, have a beer, because there's barley in beer and beer can help with lactation. I don't mean go to the bar and drink beer all night, nor do I even mean buy a six pack and drink a six pack, but a beer is going to help your lactation. Then there's oatmeal. I eat oatmeal every morning. But if you don't like oatmeal, you can make muffins. There's some really good lactation cookie recipes that have oatmeal. You can put oatmeal in your smoothies. I've done that a couple of times. So, you know, there's other ways to get your oatmeal in. Brewer's yeast, you can use that in your oatmeal muffins and your lactation cookies. That also will help your milk supply. Sweet potatoes, they're a very good complex carb. They're high in vitamin C, plus they have potassium. So all those things are a bonus for you. Beans are high in fiber. Veggies, you know, most veggies, leafy greens and all that, they're all gonna help. Fruits, I always say eat your water. Fruits that are high, even vegetables that are high in a water content, like watermelon and strawberry, will help you stay hydrated, as well as, you know, help with your lactation. Good proteins for lactation are salmon and beef. And there's probably some of you out there that don't eat beef, and, you know, that's your personal choice, but beef does really help with lactation. And if you can, try to have grass-fed beef, and then that way it's a little bit better for you. Eggs. You should be eating eggs, the whole egg, not just the white, not just the yolk, but the whole egg. And who doesn't like eggs? And they're super easy to make, so add that to your list. Some seeds are lactogenic. Hemp is lactogenic. Flax is really good for your supply. The thing to remember about flax, I don't know if people know it, is that you need to grind it up. Your body has a really hard time digesting whole flax seeds. So, you know, just be sure you get it ground up, and then you can put it in just about anything. An alternative to that is flaxseed oil. So then you don't have to worry about any of that at all. I am going to mention water, because I don't think people realize how important water is to lactation. But water is the base for increasing your milk supply. So you need to stay hydrated. And even if you're drinking water during the day, when you sit down to pump or express, if you're not getting thirsty, then there's something wrong. You're gonna wanna have a bottle of water next to you, or Gatorade, or an alternative, you know, something that's hydrating. A cup of coffee or a soda doesn't count. I try to drink a lot of Gatorade. I live in Vegas, so the water tastes like crap. So my alternative to that is Gatorade. But, you know, if you live in a city that has great water supply, Oregon has great water supply. You know, their water tastes really good. If you happen to be lucky enough to live somewhere where the water tastes good, then you don't have to worry about it. Just drink plenty of water. Some things to stay away from: caffeine in any form. And unfortunately, I'm sorry, that means limiting how much chocolate you eat or steering clear of milk chocolate because it has caffeine. And if you're going to eat chocolate, try to eat a dark chocolate because it's also better for you. Parsley or peppermint can reduce supply. Peppermint can stop supply. I mean, a little bit, you know, like if you go to Starbucks and you get a peppermint mocha once a week because, you know, it's no big deal, then it's probably not going to affect your supply. But if you are addicted to peppermint candy and you're eating it all the time, that may. So just be careful. And I'd like to clear up a misconception about alcohol, because a lot of moms are told, and then, you know, the stories are all out there, that you shouldn't drink alcohol. But the truth is, moms shouldn't drink alcohol because alcohol gets into their breast milk and then it gets to baby. That's why most moms who drink pump and dump or wait a couple of hours before they feed their baby. Alcohol does not deplete your supply, not at all. It just gets in your breast milk. If you have a partner and you have sessions set up, you know, just let them know that you had a couple of drinks. But if you wait, you know, if you have one drink and you wait an hour and a half, then you're probably safe. Or if your partner doesn't care, then, you know, have drinks all night, I guess. I don't, you know, it's just remember that the alcohol doesn't affect your supply. So a couple of supplements that I recommend at the beginning when you first start inducing is goat's rue. It helps develop breast tissue. Shatavari, and forgive me anybody out there if I'm saying some of these words wrong, because there's nobody to tell me the right way to say them. Anyway, shatavari is supposed to, it helps the release of prolactin and corticoids, which are responsible for improving both the quality and the quantity of your breast milk. So, plus shatavari is just really good for overall women's health. Honestly, I've read in a couple of different studies that if you are trying to conceive or having fertility issues, that shatavari can help with that. So it's really good for a lot of different things in the female body. And then the last one is moringa. It also helps with lactation. Those are the three that I recommend at the beginning. There's others that you'll want to take later and some other types of medicines that we'll talk about. If you have somebody tell you that you should take fenugreek, I think that's how you say it, you should not. You should not take that until after you have an established milk supply, because it can do a couple of things. It can inhibit your milk from coming. It can frustrate you because you're taking pills, you know, all these pills and nothing's happening. You know, that's one that is supposed to be really good for lactation. I think it's rated as the number one galactagogue. I don't know how to say that. I'll say herbal supplement. That's supposed to be at the top of the list. For me, I had an allergic reaction to it, so I had to stop taking it. And, you know, that can happen with any of the herbals or any of the foods. You know, none of these things that I list or tell you about are things that, you know, if you don't do this, then it's not going to work. They're just things I recommend that you try. When you decide to start adding supplements, you need to be, you know, very careful about the ones that you choose, because just taking anyone, you know, they may have been on a shelf for 2 years, or, you know, there's no FDA regulation on herbal supplements. So It may say that it's goat through, but it may be half dirt for all you know. So you have to be careful who and where you choose to get them. Now, I do know from personal experience, there's a company called Legendary, D-A-I-R-Y, and they have amazing supplements. And I used them when I started my supplements for months. I think almost up to a year. They have the Gotru, the Shatavari, and the Moringa, I think in one pill, or maybe it's two, but they're really reasonable priced. Their supplements are really good, and you know, it's just a really great company. It's ran by women, it's a small business, and they, you know, really put a lot of thought into the way they put their stuff together. So if you're looking for supplements, I highly recommend you check out their website. And if you can't find their website, I know that they do have some of their supplements available on Amazon. So, you know, that's one place to look. I've had a couple people tell me that they drink mother's milk tea. I personally haven't used it enough to know if it did any good for me. I'm recovering from a cold, and about 3 days ago, I ran out of my usual hot tea, and I found one of those in my purse that somebody had given me, a tea bag, a mother's milk tea bag. And so in my desperation to have hot tea for my cold, I made mother's milk tea. And I don't know, you know, I just had the one. I didn't have an increase or a decrease in supply. So I don't know, you know, how well it works. But that's another option. Lactation cookies, those are so good. I could eat those all the time. That's like my afternoon snack. Lactation cookies, oatmeal chocolate chip, you know, and I know I said no chocolate, I said limit your chocolate, and there isn't that much in the cookies, but it's, those cookies are so good. And if you're a baker, there's some really good recipes online. You can make your own, or if not, you can buy them. I know Amazon has some, and I get mine at Target. And let's see, what else is there? There's a brand of like granola. No, it's not really granola. Like I guess it's kind of like a protein bar. At least that's how it looks, like a Nutri-Grain bar. But they're called Booby Bars. Those are really good too. And those take a little bit getting used to. But if you eat two, by the second one, the next time that you pump, I promise you, you'll feel a difference. So those are a couple of good alternatives for, you know, when you're just starting out. And lastly, I just want to add, you know, my disclaimer that everybody's body is different. Your body's going to move at the pace that it's going to move. You can't make it go any faster or any slower. And you just need to let it do its thing and not give up. You know, stay committed, stay focused. Use your TENS unit or use the pump, whichever one you're doing. Or if you're lucky enough to have a partner, then, you know, schedule those sessions so that you can get that in as often as possible. And just keep staying committed. And I have a couple of friends that I chat with, you know, and it's really hard sometimes when you've went 3 or 4 months and you don't feel like you're making any progress. But even though you can't see it, your body, your breasts are changing. They're growing and they're developing and they're moving at the rate that they move. You know, remember when a mom gets pregnant, it takes 9 months for her body to get to where it needs to be. So if you're 2 months in or 5 months in, you know, just remember it took mom 9 months to get there. So just hang on, because I promise you, any day you're going to see the results that you want to see. That's our conversation for tonight. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. Have a great night.